Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Grace and peace to you, beloved community, from the triune God who calls and sends us. Amen.
Amen.
10 years ago, I began an experiment which the ELCA calls a SAWC. S-A-W-C, a synodically authorized worshiping community, to see if people who our culture often labels as the nuns, not religiously affiliated, might be willing to gather and explore faith together. I had met many nuns in coordinating service and learning trips to Guatemala, who had found a sense of community in Guatemala that they longed for after returning back to the US. However, many from this demographic had shared stories with me about how they felt hurt or alienated by the institution of the church or by people representing the church. I was curious if this group would be willing to engage with a new faith community that met outside of a church building. We began to gather in a coffee shop in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, on Friday nights for a potluck meal and worship together, an adaptation of what is commonly known as dinner church, but we called it coffee shop church. As time went on, our participants wanted to share more time together, and they began volunteering at local service organizations together, as well as participating in advocacy efforts. This group was particularly artistic and found great meaning in exploring scripture through art. So for our first Lenten season together, we decided to coordinate a community art project, embracing the Guatemalan tradition of creating colorful sawdust carpets on the sidewalks lining the street right in front of a Lutheran church near the state capitol building. As we began assembling these long rectangles with colorful designs, people experiencing homelessness and addiction were also beginning to gather for a community meal at that church that evening. Some had arrived early and were participating with us, creating the colorful sawdust carpets. Others were standing next to the building, observing the art, or engaging in conversation with us. After these carpets were created, we had planned a short worship service where the children from our community would process over the carpets while the Palm Sunday reading was read, and then we would continue to the parking lot where we would have a service with Holy Communion. As we gathered around the bread and cup, this group for the community meal became quiet and calm and seemed intrigued. We finally reached the point in the service of communion where I began speaking the words of institution. In the night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you." So here's a confession of mine. As a newer pastor, I did not have these words memorized. Though I had heard them literally thousands of times, when it came to looking up over a group of people and speaking them, I was very nervous. I still get very nervous. I wanted to speak these words correctly and completely, and so on that chilly day in the parking lot, I was paying more attention to the piece of paper that had the words printed on them than on the group who was gathered. What I had not realized was that the crowd had shifted, and some of the men had inched closer and closer to our makeshift altar. And so when I finally looked away from my paper and held the bread up in front of me, I was immediately confronted with a man who was not more than a foot from my hands, 2 feet from my face. He was right smack in front of me, focused on the bread. He was dingy, with a brown knit hat on his head and layers of dirty clothing, and I couldn't see his eyes because they were looking downward. But what I could clearly see were his hands, because they were at my eye level. His hands were worn and cracked, with dirt under his fingernails, and they were shaking slightly. He was ready to receive communion. He was really begging for communion, pleading to receive communion, but it wasn't time yet. Time is an interesting concept in the Bible. In ancient Greek, there are a couple of words translated into the English word time. There's chronos time, the kind of time you find on your phone or your wristwatch, or a timer, which is chronological time that moves linearly or sequentially. But another type of time that is referenced in our scripture passage today is kairos time, which references an event or an opportunity that changes everything. A critical time when the eternal God breaks into our world, urging us to pay attention and respond. This kairos time is the kind of time Jesus is referencing in our gospel reading today. The time, kairos time, is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. In Mark's gospel, Jesus had just experienced a kairos time when, immediately after being baptized by John the Baptist, the heavens tore apart, the Holy Spirit descended upon him, and then he was immediately thrown into the wilderness by that Spirit for 40 days. Just as abruptly, we now hear that John the Baptist was arrested and Jesus returns to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God, saying, "Kairos time is here. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent, change your heart and mind, and believe in the good news." Then we hear Jesus is passing along the Sea of Galilee, a crossroads in its time of trading commerce, notably fishing. And we hear Jesus calling his first disciples two pairs of professional fishers who immediately drop everything and go. The story in the Gospel of Mark then becomes both a story about Jesus and also those who follow him. In fact, this act of following becomes synonymous with being a disciple of Jesus. What does it mean to follow Jesus? And what is the cost of that discipleship? Lutheran theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote an entire book called The Cost of Discipleship, describing discipleship as a call from Jesus. And I quote, "Follow me. Run along behind me. That is all. To follow in his steps is something which is void of all content. It gives us no intelligible program for a way of life, no goal or ideal to strive after." Bonhoeffer continues, "When we are called to follow Christ, we are summoned to an exclusive attachment to his person." End quote. That is what it means when we hear Jesus saying, "Repent and believe in the good news. Repent, change your heart and mind, attach your life to Jesus. Believe in the good news of God's kingdom breaking into the world." Jesus is both announcing the good news and is himself the good news. This is the kairos that those first disciples were experiencing when Jesus called them to follow him. They were experiencing a critical time, an invitation pregnant with possibility and a challenge, a complete reorientation of their world, leading them to attach to Jesus and venture into the unknown. These kairos moments, where Jesus is inviting us to follow, to attach to him, break into our chronological lives all the time. In fact, these kairos moments, they can catch our breath, causing us to pause and listen. I can tell you that when I held the bread up on that day in that parking lot and I beheld those tattered hands in front of my face, I felt like I had the wind knocked out of me. At that moment, I had trouble getting through the rest of the words of institution properly, as I was keenly aware of this man who so urgently yet so patiently was waiting right in front of me. When the body of Christ was offered to this man, he eagerly took and received it into his body, and he did the same with the cup. I have no idea how long it had been since he was last offered Holy Communion, but he seemed to be weary and parched. That man in the parking lot, he taught me something that day about holiness and worthiness. We, all those who were gathered in that parking lot, we were all one family. Christ made us all equal and worthy and holy as we stood together around a makeshift altar in our upper room, a chilly and dirty parking lot. At the end of that service, several of the people gathered asked, "When are we going to church again?" An invitation and a challenge. One kairos moment had led to another. And so parking lot church was birthed, gathering once a month in that church parking lot using the air condenser unit as an altar. Coffee shop church participants not only came to worship alongside this community experiencing homelessness and addiction, but formed long-term relationships with many of the people, getting to know their names and their stories, coming early to throw the football back and forth together in the parking lot, and sitting together at the community meal, sharing this meal together after worship. What many of us learned that day was this: Jesus was standing right in front of us, waiting eagerly like that man waiting for communion, insisting, really, that we shift our attention from the words on the page to the heart of a person, from the busyness of our daily lives to sacred space shared with a stranger. Jesus was inviting us to follow him and was also challenging us to attach to God so that God's priorities would become our priorities. God's vision, our vision. What gets in the way for you and me to hear that invitation? And what prevents us from responding to the challenge of discipleship, to participate in the kingdom of God? Beloved Christ the King community, we are in a kairos moment, a critical time in our season of ministry together. You and I are being invited to follow Jesus, and we're also being challenged to turn our thoughts and actions toward God's mission for Christ the King Lutheran Church as a spiritual home growing into our future together. In what ways are you and I uniquely equipped and empowered by the Holy Spirit? And how are we using our gifts right here, right now, in this kairos time? I challenge you To reflect on the gifts you have to offer and how you might use them here and now for the sake of God's mission. And by the way, our new directors of congregational and community engagement are ready and waiting to partner with you to act on this challenge. Trusting in God's costly grace, freely given to us in Jesus Christ, uniquely equipped and empowered by the Holy Spirit, may we indeed respond to Jesus' invitation and challenge in a mighty way. Let it be so. Amen.